Who do you blame more, the Sixers or Joel Embiid, for the failures over the course of the years of Joel Embiid's tenure? But did want to break it up a little bit and get to this from last night, because last night was the ESPYs. I'm sure, John, you were locked in on the ESPYs last night, weren't you?
I wasn't. But I was excited that it was the Mechanicsburgian and Shane Gillis hosting it.
Yeah, Shane Gillis was hosting. Now, a lot of the jokes that he told, I don't think we're going to be able to play on the air here. But he did have some things to say. Now, the Eagles won the award for best team in 2024, obviously winning the Super Bowl. And Shane Gillis had some things to say about some of the other nominees for the award. First off, here was Shane Gillis just kind of mocking some of these other nominees.
Also, UConn women, they could also win best team. UConn women, they played against pros, right, who were on the verge of a Super Bowl dynasty. No, never mind. That was the Eagles. Go Birds. Or the Florida Panthers, who won back-to-back, like the Chiefs, who everyone thought was unstoppable until the Eagles absolutely destroyed them. Go Birds. And the New York Liberty. New York, they're from a classy town in the Northeast where they invented America. Oh, wait, that's also Philadelphia. Go Birds. Though it was nice to see a basketball team from New York win something. Go Birds. So,
yeah. Basically found a way to weave it into everything there.
That's awesome.
To bring it back.
That is so cool.
John, you're really enjoying that.
I am. Wow. Hey, I mean, I'm proud. Aren't you?
Proud of Shane Gillis?
Yes.
Sure. Why
he's
not?
He's from Mechanicsburg.
Yeah. Well,
and now
that's
he's spreading that to everyone else. The world now knows that they should be on the same page as we are. They're on the Go Birds kick.
I did enjoy him taking a shot at some of those other teams. Now, he also took a shot at one of the Eagles' biggest rivals.
The Eagles are up for best team, Go Birds. Yep. And I bet you guys think, as an Eagles fan, that I'm going to trash all the other nominees, but far from it. I'm going to celebrate them. I think this race is wide open. It definitely is not obvious who the best team was this year. One of the nominees for best team is the Dallas Cowboys. No, I'm joking. Obviously, Dallas sucks. Go Birds. They're obviously not here. Only real teams are up for best team.
I love when John
That's
laughs.
Amazing, man.
John is so happy right now. This is making
you?
Him so... I mean, I enjoyed his set. I enjoyed his opening monologue there.
Man.
Brett Dallas Michaels. Sucks. Go Birds.
It's him and Brett Michaels, man.
The Mechanicsburg's finest.
The Mechanicsburg elite.
And then you.
What about you? Yeah, what about you? I mean, you're in that class, too.
Well, I mean, I can hope to try to, you know, emulate these Mechanicsburg stars.
Legends?
The legends of Mechanicsburg. This guy is awesome, though.
Well, there was one more that I don't know.
You've seen the commercial with him in Post Malone, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I haven't seen it. It's on every frigging commercial.
He's
funny. Of course
funny.
I've seen it.
He's funny.
Yeah.
His show Tires, it's not for everybody, but it's highly amusing to me.
Yeah, I got to check that one
out.
I've seen good reviews for that. Here was one more from Shane Gillis taking a shot at, I think, a team you might be a fan of, John.
Only real teams are up for best team. Like Ohio State football, who won the national championship but also lost to Michigan. Michigan, who didn't cheat this time. Beat them fair and square. Yeah, are we ever going to hold accountable? Yeah, whatever. They're allowed to cheat. No repercussions.
Now, I got to add, why are you a Michigan guy again? Why are you a Michigan fan?
Well, I mean, I went there for... two seasons. I played two seasons there. I went there for, you know, a year and a half.
Wow, this makes me a bad teammate. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
Yeah. No, I thought he just
your
went
son
to...
also goes
yeah, and
there.
His son goes there.
Oh, and your son goes there.
My son is going to be a junior.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know you went to
ripping him for being a bad teammate the last 2 days.
You are
come
a
on.
Terrible teammate.
Where did John? Did you go to Stanford?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought you went there the whole time.
I went to Michigan for a year and a half. I went to, and then I had to sit out a full calendar year because back then you had to sit out a full calendar year.
Right.
So that was January of 1995 to January of 1996. I was ineligible and then had to wait another half a year until I played. So I was at Stanford a lot longer than I was at Michigan.
Man.
But I was at both.
I can't come at you for being a bad teammate anymore. I didn't even know where you went to college. Do you know where I went to college?
No.
Just okay. Take a guess, John. You'll probably land on it.
Yeah, take a guess.
Temple.
Yes. Where do most people in this area go to college?
Three-fourths of the show right now.
Three-fourths of the show went to Temple.
Exactly.
So, the good guess, John.
Well, I mean,
you hit it on the nose.
I didn't know that for sure.
Yeah.
It's not
so
easy, not hard to guess around here.
I can't fault you for not knowing I went to Michigan for a year and a half.
Fair enough
and
guess.
But my son, I mean, my son going there now, like, I do think that's a big deal. I got a big M on my, well, a couple big M's all over my car. Now I got Pitt stuff because my daughter's going to Pitt.
Yeah, I saw your car. I parked
going?
Next to you yesterday. And
very
I
cool.
figured that was your car. I didn't know why you had the Pitt stuff on
there. I got my LBI stuff.
So
LBI
you'll be able to drive,
sticker.
Drop her off at Pitt and then continue on to Michigan?
On the way. Yeah, it really works great.
That's actually
everything
pretty nice.
Everything along the turnpike, the Pennsylvania turnpike, turning right into the Ohio turnpike, and then you
how long's
head
that,
north to Ann Arbor.
How long's that ride out to Ann Arbor?
It'll be eight and a half, nine.
All right. Well,
eight and a half,
not
really?
Awful.
Yeah, it's not
that's
bad.
It?
Yeah.
Because I know it's like 8 hours to Cleveland, I think, or Cincinnati, but you're going up.
Yeah.
I just know I have family out in Ohio, and I know how long it takes. How fast are you driving?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's fast.
Well, there you go. That was Shane Gillis. We'll have more from him coming up a little later on in the show. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Do you blame the Sixers or Joel Embiid more for this organization's failures? Also our side topic. Give us somebody that's multi-talented. That is our side topic today. Let's go to Andy in Deptford. What's up, Andy?
Morning, team. We live. We sticky hot out there today. Yo, Richie, man, you a fraud for not supporting your teammate, my guy. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. You think that afternoon show don't take shots at you? You're wrong, my man. You don't listen. Because your crying clip, they play that anytime they get a chance to hear you crying.
Oh, they do play that a lot.
They do.
True. They did that.
Then you had your teammate, Joe DeCamera, who you're unsupportive of. I mean, you probably never not supported any teammates. You probably had never had this feeling in your life, not supporting teammates. But Joe DeCamera, the same guy who did a whole summer of John looking to try and find you a girl because you couldn't find a girl on your own, right? That's the guy that you just turn your back on? Like, come on, John, man, you suspect for that, man. Back your teammate up. Be a real teammate. Mm-hmm. I don't get it with you with that. Like, you're going to let these guys continually play you, play James, play Joe, play your show that your name's stamped on.
I still haven't heard myself getting flayed.
Because you don't listen, John. Anytime you play that Jason Kills, they play that all the time of you crying, bro, to try and play you.
But I
you
did that.
You don't listen to the radio when you get off. So, of course, you're not going to hear it. But everyone else hears it.
And that was me. And so why is that offensive to me that they play it? Now,
if that's not
Andy.
Offensive, if that's not offensive to you when you hear that and everyone else hears it on the radio, then maybe you may want to start questioning some other things, John. But that is an offensive soundbite for anybody that hears it. I mean, for another man crying over a center retiring, it's kind of embarrassing, if you ask me.
Well, I don't know, Andy. It sounds to me like you're a little insecure. You don't cry at all?
Of course, but I'm not crying when a center retires. That
hit
I have
him,
no
man.
Connection with, and you know, in my opinion, isn't even one of the greatest Eagles of that time. I mean, because we did win a Super Bowl the next year after he retired. But I'm just saying, like, that wasn't a good soundbite, and it's not. They're not playing it to have you look in a favorable fashion. They're playing it to try and play you.
What do you got on the Sixers, Andy?
As far as the Sixers go, I mean, we're talking about probably the worst run organization in all of sports, period. All of sports. You got two of the worst NBA contracts. You had the whole process where you had all the assets, all the picks, and they made all the wrong moves. I mean, you're trying to come at Embiid. The team, a player was brought into a losing culture, you know, brought around losing his whole career with this organization, never held him accountable. So, I mean, I got to blame the Sixers. Embiid definitely has some blame in this as well. But, you know, if you're in school and the principal's letting you do whatever you want, nobody's going to get on the students. You're going to get on the principal.
Well, I hear you, Andy. What do you got for our side topic today?
What was it? What was the question?
Somebody who's multi-talented.
Somebody multi-talented. Not John Ritchie for not supporting his teammate. Let's go with, how about the king of pop, Michael Jackson? Could sing, could dance, could do it all, man.
All right, there you go, Andy. Appreciate the call. I don't endorse everything Andy said, John, just for the record. I think, if you know, Jason Kelce, that was an emotional day. I get it.
Thanks.
No problem. I was trying to help you out, trying to voice some support.
Tapped into some stuff. I mean, it was early. It tapped into some stuff. I didn't know it would. And, yeah, it was. It happened. I don't know why. Or how sometimes stuff like that happens.
This is really.
Oh my God. There we go. Bad teammate.
I just think
Dan
Andy,
Wilson.
Job, let's be honest. Andy's an emotionally insecure man. That's the way I feel. I think Andy's got to act like he's some big tough guy. He never cries, nothing ever upsets him. I think Andy's a little bit of a fraud. I don't know.
Wow.
Andy
those
just.
Are fighting words.
He annoys the hell out of me.
No.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Do you think you could beat Andy up?
I don't know. I'm not gonna, you know, challenge Andy to a
I guess
fight.
That's what are not
you,
the right
why
thing
are you
to
always
ask.
Trying to set up fights? No, trying to set up a boxing match with Buzz and I the
I
few
thought
ago?
That was an awesome
that's
idea.
Not,
you
that's
guys
not
said it would have been doable.
Yeah, I think I don't think that
we could do
cleared.
It before the tennis match.
Yeah,
guys.
We'll do it before
By the way, you think that'd be fun?
It might be fun. I mean, yeah. I mean, Buzz has a bit of a punchable face.
When I was growing up.
If you can reach it.
Yeah, exactly.
See, this is nice. I like the hold on. When I was growing up, my dad used to put me out in the front yard and with my friends, and he got a bunch of boxing gloves for us, and he would have us, like, box off. It was awesome.
Sounds like a horrible idea.
No, well, it some days it got horrible because, you know, people would haul off and start picking on people. And
did you ever get your ass kicked out there?
Yeah, absolutely.
And your dad was just watching you get beat up?
Yeah. Well,
would all the dads come over and, like, place bets on this thing?
I don't know.
That's probably what was going on.
I don't know. But in most cases, he was trying to teach us to box. In most cases, that's what happened. But... You know,
did you learn to box?
A bunch of not well, but it was fun. And then you'd square off with your friends, and you'd, you know, have little sparring matches with each other out in the front yard. You guys can do the little sparring match in the front yard thing, and that'd be a lot of fun for everyone.
Maybe we'll do it before tennis, but I got to ask you, have you started your ball man training yet? Have you started to train for the tennis event?
Because
we figured that out yesterday. You're going to be the ball man. For the Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, or the Joe DeCamera, Jack
I
Fritz
am
tennis
the
match.
Ball man.
Yes.
What was that? How did. So maybe, yeah, I'll get my outfit. I guess that's the only way I need to get ready. I need to get like a
short
white.
Short shorts. Yeah.
White?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He's got to go all out on this.
White short shorts.
White
that's,
short
that's
shorts.
That's awesome.
High white
the
socks.
White short you should shorts have the, with the socks.
Yes. You should have the yes. tubes. You should go with the
so
tube
good.
Socks.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah.
Tube socks.
I don't have white short shorts, though, man.
White shirt and a white headband. I think that's exactly
okay,
how you
okay,
need to look.
Okay, okay. Who was the headband guy?
John
was
McEnroe?
It, no. Bjorn Borg,
oh, Bjorn
maybe?
Borg,
yeah.
Yeah. I would love to try to pull that off.
All right. I'm excited for this. I'm way more excited than I am for the tennis match just to see John out there
flagging
balls.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. This is, when is this going to happen?
I think tentatively next week, but I'm not, these aren't
yeah,
my
Rod decisions. Had said maybe, and I said, well, can it please be Monday and Tuesday because I go on vacation on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
So, but he wasn't sure because it's going to be at the Lakes, FDR, which is my son's home tennis courts. as he plays for Roman. And I'm like, this is perfect. I mean, it's literally around the corner from my house.
What are you more excited for? Are you more excited for the match or to see John out there as the ball man?
Oh, God, John out there.
Yeah.
That'll be highly entertaining.
The ball man.
Yeah.
What is the song that I... Why is there a song in my head? I am the day man. What is that?
Oh, from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The night man. The night man.
Master of the night man.
Yeah, that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Did we get clips of that or something? Like we.
Sure. We'll play. We'll play coming back from the next break.
Okay.
Buzz can get that. And now, do they have one?
I am the ball man.
Do they have one ball man or do they have two ball men for these events? Is it just one guy or two?
No, there's many more than two ball men.
Well, I think.
You've got two at the net. You've got one in each corner and two at the net in the high level of play events.
Well, I was going to say, Buzz should be the backup ball man. Buzz, you look like you could be a ball man.
I'll happily be a
Buzz
ball man.
Buzz
wants any job for any of these things. You wanted on the baseball.
Ball
Buzz was trying to be the umpire, the scorekeeper, the reporter.
I was actually the reporter. Yes.
I know you were. You did a nice job with the reports. I'll give you credit for that one, Buzz. Buzz could be your ball man trainer.
We had a uniform.
The ball man.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be
awesome. I could see Buzz having a ball man.
We need a line judge for this. There's a lot of jobs to go around.
Yeah, yeah, there are, for sure. 215-592-9494. You're listening to 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting live from the Tasty Cake Studios today. Talking a lot about the Sixers. Joel Embiid will continue reading from this piece. There's just so much to get to. But if you get the chance, go to ESPN.com.
You'll need about an hour.
Yes.
How long is it again?
At least an hour.
Dan?
13,367 words and 45 pages.
Yeah, Joel Embiid had a lot to say yesterday, but make sure you read it. It's very interesting stuff. And asking, you know, the failures of this organization over the last decade, who do you place it on more? Do you place it on the Sixers or do you place it on Joel Embiid? Now, I place more on Joel Embiid in totality. I think early in his career it was more on the Sixers. Later in his career, I hold Embiid more accountable because, hey, he's a grown-up now. He's not a kid anymore. And there are things that I think he never fully got. But I'll say this in his favor, I guess, and as kind of a knock at the Sixers. Is this organization still... It's just one that you can't really trust. And I look at this Paul George situation where Paul George getting the knee injury. And Daryl Morey spoke to the media, a few days ago?
He spoke on Friday. They announced on Monday that Paul George had had the surgery.
And I guess it just slipped his mind to mention this on Friday?
I'm going to try to connect the dots because supposedly he suffered the injury, according to Shams, and went to see a doctor on Friday. So I don't think there's, you know, in my mind, no way that he didn't know.
Of course he knew.
Because John, you would know better than me. Even in the off season, if you're under contract with the team and you get injured during a workout, do you not call the team so that when you go to the doctor, it's covered by insurance? I'm assuming that works like normal
Everything
people.
Everything goes through the team. I mean, when I retired, I didn't have any sort of doctors or anything.
You had to get them all.
I didn't have any health care. Everything always went through the team. You had the sniffles. You talked to someone at the building. Everything is there. I didn't even know how to weigh myself. Like, I didn't have that stuff at my disposal.
So if he got an appointment with a doctor, that was set up by the team.
Yes. Absolutely. No question.
And this is the part that's just so irritating. And hear Daryl Morey talk about last season. Here he was. This was a few months ago when he was on with Rice to Ricky Sanchez, Spike Eskin, obviously, here at WIP, and Mike Levin. Here was what Daryl Morey had to say about this past season and why it went as badly as it did.
It never started. Joel was hurt right away. Never really played to the level we know he can play. And then it was like we had a Paul injury, a Maxi injury, really the whole Rod Drummond was out.
And that's the thing that bothers me so much is Daryl Morey talks like this stuff came out of nowhere. and that how could we have predicted these injuries happening? Well, you signed a 35-year-old guy who, I mean, again, is 35 years old, $212 million. That was a ridiculous idea. And you had another guy with a knee condition that you knew was degenerative who had just played basketball offseason instead of resting. So it's hard to absolve the organization when they do this kind of stuff, too. It's like it's very hard to place the blame on one spot, and it's just all the way around, just not good on either side. Let's go to Matt in West Philly. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
Hi, Matt. What's up?
All right. I wanted to start off with the Sixers first. So I feel like it's 80-20. I'm going to give 80% of the blame to the Sixers because this has been going on for so long that you can't ignore it. Like, I still remember that year when Allen Iverson took us to the finals at first game one with the Lakers. I haven't felt that feeling since that night. I don't know if you were in the city that night, but the whole Philadelphia was so wild. That was the best feeling. I haven't felt that feeling since that day with the Sixers. And it's like when... How many times have we changed management since then?
Wow.
A lot. A lot. Yeah. I mean, it's impossible to count how many times, but a lot.
So real quick, I've been with a company, and when you change, when they come in and a new management comes in, they usually go over all of the old things that were happening with the company that was messing things up, and they change. And you haven't seen any of that. Like all of the things that were going wrong, it's like they're still going on year after year after year. Nothing has changed. I don't know who's at the top of the food chain here, but they're not paying attention to all of the wrong mistakes that's been happening over the years. You just keep getting the same thing over and over and over. It keeps happening. I seen an interview with Andre Iguodala when he was here, and he said that when he was here, we didn't have a practice facility. He said when he got traded, what team did Andre Iguodala get traded to?
He got traded to Denver in the Bynum trade, yeah.
Right. He said when he first went to Denver, they had a practice facility to go to. And he was so shocked and was like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be. And he didn't have any of that with the Sixers. He said they were practicing at the college.
But hold on, I will point this out because it was pointed out to me when I had my my debate with Elliot Shore Parks about whether or not Josh Harris was a good owner. He's like, they built this beautiful practice facility over in Jersey. When Allen Iverson was going to that college on Cityland Avenue, they actually went to the NBA Finals. So I'd just like to point that out.
Right. Okay. All right.
I understand what you're saying. As a player, you want a nice place to work. But that practice facility hasn't done a damn thing for the Sixers as a team. somebody pointed it out to me, and I just wanted to make sure I mentioned it this time.
Right. That goes back to the management, though. Who's running the show here?
Sure.
Yeah, and then, so it's just, like I said, I haven't had that feeling since Allen Iverson took us to the finals. Then with the Joel Embiid thing, you had the 20% that I put on him is that he went to the Olympics. He shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have went there. That's everybody saw that. They're like, why did you go when you weren't at 100% to start the season? And just the whole time he was here, the whole city can agree with him always being at the top of the key. You're the biggest man in the NBA, and you're always at the top of the key. That bothers everybody.
Well, yeah, I hear you, Matt. What do you got for our side topic? Who's multi-talented?
I will give it to Coach Prime, Deion Sanders.
That's a good one.
Great NFL player, great coach, and don't forget he had that hit song, Must Be the Money.
There you go,
and
Matt.
Baseball player.
Yeah, multi-sport athlete. But that's a good one with Deion Sanders.
You know, I had a face-to-face. I played against Deion. I mean, like
probably many times, right?
Many times, but there was one play where the tables were turned. You know, normally I would be in a situation against Deion Sanders where he would not want to be having to, you know, tackle me in the flat or something. It's like a short gain, but he's a cornerback. He doesn't want to have to tackle a fullback in the flat. That's not fun for a coverage cornerback.
Right.
But there was my rookie year, man, September, September 10th, September 12th, something early, because it was the hottest game I ever played in. A game that I had gashed my knee open in the first quarter to where my whole sock was bright red with blood. And I looked down like 2 seconds later, and the sweat had washed the blood completely clean from my sock.
Wow.
It was completely white. It was incredible. I'd never seen anything like it. There was one of those big thermometers, you know, the big round ones that have the number where it goes 100, 110, 120, 130. And it was like down at like 140 on the AstroTurf.
How do you play in heat like that?
I was playing for the Oakland Raiders. So, of course, the Dallas Cowboys are in white because they're wearing white at home. So we're wearing black. And back then in Irving, Texas, there was the square hole in the top of that facility,
right,
where the sun at noon, because it's a noon kickoff central time, the sun is coming directly in that square hole, and I mean it is on top of the entire sideline of the opposing team, the Oakland Raiders, wearing black, you know, doing that. Anyway, it's early in the game, and the guy who's normally the personal protector on punt is Randy Jordan. And he got his bell rung or something. So I'm in there. I got to cover a punt, which is actually the way my career ended, by the way, covering a punt in Detroit. But anyway, Deion Sanders is the guy who's receiving this punt. And we're punting out of our end zone. So it's like, oh, man, not a great spot to be in. As the personal protector, like, I have to wait until I have to try to make sure no one's blocking this thing because we're in a risky spot. And then I got to get down there, release, and try to make the tackle. I was the only guy who was unblocked. So, like, somehow.
Did you make the play?
Listen, somehow I beat the blocking scheme. They probably messed up. Because I didn't defeat some guy who was trying to block me. But at some point, it was just me and Deion Sanders. He had caught the punt. It was me and Deion face-to-face in the open field, one-on-one. And I came nowhere near him. I didn't come any closer than you and I
are. I thought this was
going to
be a great story about how you got him.
Oh, yeah. My Lord. They always say when you're the first guy, you have to just throw. Just take a chance and throw on that guy and go for that hit. So I did that. I don't know what he did because he must have teleported because it was, I got nothing. And it really did look like I was 5 yards away from him as I was diving through the air fruitlessly.
Different.
And he ran the ball all the way down to the 0 yard line.
What was
and went
he
out
like on the field? Was he a talker or just, or not?
Talked or? A lot. Talked yeah. a lot. Not so much to me because he just thought I was such a non-threat. But he was also annoyed when he had to tackle me in the flat. Because that's awful for a guy that size to have to deal with a guy who's 255, 260.
And think about that. Like, you're in the NFL. Like, you're obviously one of the top 1% athletes in the world at that point. Think about how athletic Deion Sanders is to make you look like that.
Yeah.
And he would do that to pretty much everyone.
To everyone.
It's crazy.
To everyone. He could teleport, man.
That's insane. 215-592-9494. Twitter poll question of the day at WIP Morning Show. The Twitter poll question sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Who do you blame more for the Sixers' failures, Joel Embiid or the Sixers? We'll continue talking about that. We'll read a little bit more from the piece. And we do have some more from Shane Gillis to get to, including a little conversation that he had with Nick Sirianni during the award show. So we'll get to that as well. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera. This is the Morning Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Oh,